You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We'll talk about on whom the recovery from this crisis is going to depend. Spoiler alert, again, it's you. We'll get there in a minute. But we begin with a segment about how we might get to that recovery, how companies are reacting to the present danger, and how we might, as an economy, start things up again. First, those companies and what we know about what they are thinking. We talk a lot here about quarterly earnings when publicly traded companies say how they did in the previous quarter, yes, but also for many of them, what they think is coming in the near term. It's called guidance or forward-looking analysis. Turns out, though, given the way things are going, a whole lot of companies have stopped trying to predict the future. Marketplace's Andy Euler starts us off.
Guidance is a way for a company to help others value its stock. Chris Ali is an accounting professor at the University of Arkansas.
Firms often choose to voluntarily initiate guidance so that they can help, you know, the market and investors and their suppliers and a lot of people to understand what are their future expectations for performance.
But right now, many companies don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Since March 16th, 46 have withdrawn quarterly guidance and 150 have pulled annual guidance. That's according to the National Investor Relations Institute. United Airlines, Twitter, and Dell are among them. Ali says for good reason.
It would be almost irresponsible for them to be able to provide guidance when they themselves don't have really a full understanding of the effects that this pandemic is going to have on their bottom line.
In normal times, it's a bad look when companies clam up, according to Baruch Lev at NYU.
When you stop guidance, the stock price is hit because it increases significantly suspicion of investors. Why did you stop? What's the reason?
But Ariel Frommer-Babcock at FCLT Global says the fallout from all these companies dishing guidance lately could be good.
We could see a real shift that could bring a whole wave of beneficial things in its path.
Namely, less pressure to produce short-term results, more long-term strategic planning, all of which, she says, can provide a more accurate picture of a company's health. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
So three words there from Andy's last paragraph, strategic planning and health. A new report from the American Enterprise Institute on what it's going to take to reopen this economy says we will need a whole lot of that strategic health planning, city by city and state by state, before people can start going back to work. Dr. Caitlin Rivers is an epidemiologist at Johns Hopkins University. She is one of the co-authors of the report. Dr. Rivers, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a fairly, as complicated as the problem is, it's a pretty straightforward roadmap. And I just want to tick through the items. Number one, slow the spread. Social distancing, we all know about. What else do you point to in terms of slowing the spread that maybe people aren't thinking about yet?
Well, you're right that right now we all should be staying home to slow the spread, but we should also be thinking about what we need to be doing now to enable next steps. So we want to be able to get to a place where we drive transmission down and at the same time bring up our public health capacities. And the reason we want to be able to do that is because if we can get to a point where everybody who is sick and the people that they are in close contact with are specifically followed up with by public health, which might mean daily visits and being asked to stay home, we can start to get back to work and we can start to lift some of the distancing measures that we are all living under right now.
Just really quickly, before we get to step two, though, that is an incredibly manpower-intensive undertaking. It's a labor force issue, right, within healthcare. Not only are they swamped at the hospitals, but we need public health experts to go out and track people and do contact tracing, too?
That's right. Healthcare and public health, our capacities will need to be scaled up quite a lot. Not only should we all be staying home, but we need to be laying the groundwork now so that when we are ready to make a safe transition, we have all the tools that we need.
Okay. Assuming we get to a point where we're ready to make a safe transition to reopening, your task force puts as phase number two, reopen state by state. And I guess my question from that is, we are a national economy inside a global economy. And as you know, this thing has been going in waves through states and through countries. And how do we reopen state by state, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, that's a great question. And you're right that as long as there are cases anywhere really in the world, it's a threat to everywhere else. And so we do need to be thinking about how we can coordinate globally and nationally. And I do think there's an opportunity for the federal government to play a strong role here in coordination. But we've seen already that governors have really been leaning into decision making and assessing what is happening in their states and communities and what opportunities they have to intervene. And I think that we'll see largely the same decision making process as we start to unwind from social distancing.
With the understanding that you're an epidemiologist, not an economist, what do you suppose the economy looks like if, say, Cleveland is doing okay, but New York City maybe not, you know?
Yes, it's true. We've never faced a situation like this in modern times. And so there are a lot of decisions that will need to be made around reopening the economy and restarting our community activities. And so we wanted to recognize that getting people back to work and bring a paycheck home and earn a living is also very important to health and well-being. It's not just about the virus, but again, this is a pandemic that we've never seen before in modern times. And so we do need to lead with public health.
Last thing, Dr. Rivers, and then I'll let you go. What do you think this prepares us for the crisis next time? Because there's another one coming, much like there are always economic crises. It seems there are going to be more pandemics.
It's true that COVID-19 is not the last public health threat we'll face. I think it's appropriate right now to be thinking about how we defeat COVID-19. But I do hope that we have a serious discussion about what we should be doing to not be caught in this position again.
Dr. Caitlin Rivers is an epidemiologist at Johns Hopkins. She's out with a group of co-authors with a paper from AEI about the National Coronavirus Response, a roadmap to reopening, it's called. Really interesting read. Lots to do in there. Dr. Rivers, thanks for your time, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.